has to share something with y'all. Y'all have heard me talk, what was it, a couple weeks ago, about your pastor being an apostle, you know, and all that, and we're a little bit different because of that and stuff like that. But also, the Apostle Paul considered himself a soldier in the scriptures. Y'all remember over there, what is it, 1 Timothy 2, he tells Timothy, now he's setting Timothy as a young pastor over the church. That's one of the things they do. And he told him, he said, endure hardness, how? As a good soldier. He's telling Timothy, have this same mentality that I have. What do soldiers do? They go against the enemy. They don't allow the enemy to stop them. They have a certain kind of mindset. I was thinking about it. Now, when you go in the Army or Navy or whatever the case may be, you know, you get some training and all this stuff, but then you get different when you go into, like, Special Forces stuff, you know, and all that kind of stuff. And sometimes I seen them on TV where sometimes they would take them out in the woods, in the wilderness, like, and they ain't let them sleep for 2 or 3 days. How many knows just that alone, no sleep whatsoever, can influence you in a lot of different ways, physically, mentally, in a lot of different ways. And then they'll put them out there in the woods, and then they have another team that comes against them like the enemy would. Well, what are they doing? They're training them, not just by what they say, but training them, putting them into action. Now, why am I saying all this? Because this is mine and Scotty's job. Why? Because you, just like Paul told Timothy, endure hardness as a good soldier. You've got to have that same kind of mindset. The Bible says, gird up the loins of your mind. Why? Prepare it for action. There's some people, their mind is not prepared for action at all. It's prepared for laying on the couch, eating donuts, and expecting God to just make everything work out in their lives. And how many knows that's not ever going to happen? So that's part of the reason why we talk to y'all the way we do. Part of the reason why we say things the way that we say it. Because kind of like I told Travis, there's one thing about him, it is hard to hurt his feelings. Now, it might be a little easier to make him mad or upset, but it is hard to hurt his feelings. Why? Because I'm his mama. And I mean that in a good way. I've told him things ain't nobody on this planet ever told him. I do my best to speak to him the truth in love, but most of the time he'll go home, he don't like it, and he'll go home and tell me, I just can't talk to mom right now. Why? I'm telling him everything he don't want to hear. Because when he was younger, I told him, I said, son, ain't nobody going to love you like me and dad loves you. Alabama Power's not going to love you. They're not going to leave your power on because they love you. So just like this, if you can take it under me and Scotty in here, you can make it out yonder. If you can go, if you can stay in here and not become offended at us or our personalities or the word that we minister to you in any way, you will make it out there. Just like I said, why? Because we tell you everything in here that you don't want to hear. Well, it's part of our job. Now, this is not my message. I don't think it is, but anyway, we just do whatever he says. I just work here, right? Whatever he wants, that's what I do. Well, if you can make it in here listening to the word, not becoming offended at the word, not becoming offended at us, when your pastor tells you, no, you're not going to do that. You're not going to say that. You're not going to dress like that. No, we're not going to have that color carpet. If you can stay in here and remain in the love of God, you can absolutely do it out there. If you can live in your home and stay in the love of God, you can absolutely do it out there. Why? Because at your house, they leave the tooth off the toothpaste lid and they spit it all over the mirror every day. Now, I'm just talking to Sandy right now. Robert quit that, didn't he? No, I don't know. Well, why am I saying that? Because these are the things that's not all that big, but they're every day. So if you can endure all of that, the Bible says Jesus learned obedience how? Through the things that he suffered. Don't mean sickness and disease or anything like that. How many knows they're suffering to the flesh? Kind of like this, you know, there's no reason that anybody in this house should ever get a divorce. Golly, Mama, did y'all feel that? Now, sometimes there's circumstances beyond your control. Just like this, if Scotty decided to leave me and divorce me, the Bible says, I believe it's in Romans 7, the Apostle Paul said, if a non-believer wants to stay with you, then you stay with them. But if they choose to go, let them go. You're free. am I saying that? Because, see, I have to do the will of God whether Scotty does the will of God or not. One of the reasons why we are so dogmatic about not getting divorced, staying married, is because, number one, the Bible says that it is a representation over in Ephesians of Christ and the church. I don't care what your reason is. You hear me? You better get this on the... This is the only way I have stayed married for 37 years. The only way. Johnny, it's not because he's so lovely all the time. It's not because he lets me have my way all the time. It's not because he does everything I want him to do. Most of the time, he'll hear me, but it goes in one ear and out the other, and he'll do right the opposite. And I get tired of that. But we come across the scripture that says God hates divorce. I believe it's over there in Malachi. And that's the way the Amplified Bible says it. God hates divorce. Well, once I got a hold of that word, I remember we got into it, and I sat out there in the driveway. I had a Chevy 10 Blazer at the time. I sat out there in my Blazer on the steering wheel crying and saying, God, help me to stay married to this man because I feel like I can't stand him. Y'all don't have a clue what I'm saying. Or you just ain't going to say nothing more. And because we took that word, D, and we put it in there, and we put it in there, and every time something would come up that feels like I need to divorce him, feels like I need to leave him, or he wants to leave me, vice versa, because I'm not that easy to get along with myself, my personality, and then I have my own little quirks that I do, you know. Most of the time I don't ask the question, I make a statement. I meant it as a question, but most of the time it comes out like a statement. So it sounds a little bossy. I mean, there's times that I say something, and he's just the sweetest thing. Don't bother him at all. Then there's other times I can say the exact same words, same way. And, oh, he about has a hissy, D. And I'm thinking, what's the deal here? It's just him. Some days you just get tired of that statement instead of a question. But because both of us took that word, we come across that word. See, that's one of the things that we needed because we couldn't live together. There's some people, they can live together and never, ever have a crossword hardly. There's other people that's their deal. They can't hardly. And one of the things, because we're supposed to be together and because we're supposed to do ministry together and because of the influence that we have in the earth with here, internet, YouTube, all this other stuff, the enemy will come at us stronger than he will somebody else in that area. Why? Because if he can get the head, he can possibly get the rest of us. The Bible says whenever the shepherd is struck, the sheep will scatter. But because we took that word and we got it in our hearts and we left it there, it remained. So for all of these years, 28 years now, because Travis is 30, 28 years now of that word has been producing marriage fruit. I'm still married. Why? Because the word is the seed in itself. The fruit is there. Just like dirt. I mean, Jesus used parables, a lot of natural just parables. Just go back and look how many times he mentions something as farming. He talks about corn. He talks about wheat. He talks about mustard seed. He talks about grapes. He talks about vines, right? He talks about branches. I mean, all over the place. He uses these things to illustrate the spiritual to us. Why? They parallel. Just like this. If I want corn, all I got to do, Johnny, is go out there, dig a hole in the dirt, and put a seed of corn. That seed knows exactly what to do. I don't have to tell it, but I do have to leave it out there. If I go and I dig it up, I will never have not even one kernel of corn. So that's one of the reasons why, I believe, because, see, there's some were chosen to be on the front lines in the battle, whether it's the Army or National, whatever it is. There's others that'll be behind. I honestly believe that we are some of the ones that are chosen to be on the front lines, that God is going to do things with us, and then other ministries will follow just like this. When we started food ministry at God's direction, there was no food ministry in Bluntsville that I know of anywhere at any church of any kind. God said start it. Now I think every one of them just about, if not all of them, have a food ministry, which is a wonderful thing. But who started that? We did. who had to be on the front lines of that, orchestrating that, getting that together, listening, praying, obeying God. We did. And then some might pattern after us, and then God might lead them in a different direction. But my point is this. There's always going to be some that's going to be on the front. That's going to take bullets that other ones won't have to take because you did. Or because I did. Now, if you got your Bible, let's look at John 15. Oh, good Lord, I got to go back to that divorce thing. I try my best. If I know something is going on with somebody that is in the service, I try my best to stay away from that area. Why? I don't want to give my opinion. I don't want to get in the flesh. I just try to stay away from that area. Another reason, just like this one time, this is not something new that we've been doing. We have been teaching and preaching this about marriage and divorce for as long as we have had this church. It's not something that just started. So I try to stay away, just like this one time I was ministering down the lines of marriage and divorce and brought up the scriptures and different things like that. There was a lady sitting about where Stacy is, maybe the pew back. Her and her husband had been coming here for a little while, and I noticed her husband hadn't been here in like a couple of Sundays, you know, because they didn't always come on Wednesday. And she's sitting back there, and so I really didn't think much of it, you know, that he wasn't with her. Well, anyway, I was ministering down these lines of marriage and divorce and all that, and I got done, and I come down, and she caught me right there in the middle of the aisle. And she said, "You just taught on that because you know me," and called his name, got a divorce, didn't you? I said, and called her name. I said, "I did not have a clue that you and so got a divorce." But how many knows? God knows everything. Absolutely everything. And as Christians, as a representation, as the marriage relationship, being a representation as Christ and the church, he never ever leaves the church. Does he? Thank you, Johnny, Scotty. For the rest of y'all, you need to wake up. Why am I telling you this? Because even if you don't have that problem, listen, Travis, one time he was going to divorce Beth. Y'all probably already heard it, and if you ain't, well, you know, it's news to you now. This has been years ago. He got married when he was 18 years old. He turned 18 in February, and he got married in, what was it, July? Yeah. And he told me when he turned 18, "I'm getting married, and ain't nothing you can do about it." That's how he told me, Johnny. "It's a good thing I'm saved. I could do a lot about it." But anyway, my point being, so he turns 18 in February. He marries Beth in July. How many knows life begins to set in? It's no longer like Scotty says, sucking each other's air is enough. You get hungry. That means somebody going to have to go to work. That means somebody going to have to pay the bills. Means somebody's going to have to wash clothes. Why, you're changing clothes, surely, please, at least 2 or 3 times a week. You know, so somebody got to wash some clothes. Somebody got to do the cooking. Oh, y'all know how it goes, life. Well, lo and behold, one day he comes up with this thing. He's divorcing her. I mean, he came out there. She got him to come out there finally. It wasn't her that wanted one or anything. It was him. And he came out there, you know, and we're talking to him, you know, and we told him, you know, well, we wish, you know, y'all would at least go and seek Christian marriage counseling, you know, before y'all decide something. Why? The Bible says a wise man will seek good counsel. A man that won't seek counsel is a fool. Why? Number one, you don't know everything. And if number two, the Word of God says a wise man seeks good counsel, you'd be a wise man if you'd seek good counsel. Because how many knows you're subject to get off from here to Florida? If you get off in an airplane 1 degree, D, just 1 degree, you'll never make it to Florida. How many know spiritually you could be off that 1 degree in this area? So anyway, no, he's not going to counseling. He don't need all that, you know. We asked him don't even counsel with us. Go talk to Brother Brad or somebody else, you know, or something. You know, because we're family. We're parents. Oh, no. His mind's made up. That's what he wants to do. He wants rid of her. She's holding him back. All kinds of stuff. Well, Rondae comes on a Sunday morning. And he calls Travis up. He don't know nothing. He calls Travis up. And he begins to speak to him, and he begins to tell him, "Brother, you are about to make the greatest mistake of your life." He don't have a clue, D, even what he's talking about. Because he don't know what's going on. But Travis knows what's going on, and God knows what's going on. The Bible says, whatever God has put together, let no man, y'all didn't hear me, no man put asunder or separated. Now, I know the Bible says you can on the grounds of adultery and things like that, but do you know, you read on down and he says he gave a bill of divorcement because of the hardness of your heart? Y'all not saying nothing. See, I done been there, done that. And I can tell you, you don't have to get a divorce. Even if there is adultery or physical abuse or mental abuse, I have been through it all. There's very little you can tell me. One of the reasons why I had such a problem in my thinking about myself was because my husband dogged me all the time. He would get upset at me and he'd tell me how fat I am, how ugly I am, how nobody but him would ever want me and all this kind of... Now, that's not him now. That was him B.C., before Christ. You know, that was Scotty B.C. So, I mean, you don't have to get one. See, if you had to get one, good Lord, if you had to get one, then the Word of God can't be true. Kind of like this. Scotty could never, ever see having anything without being in debt. There's people today, they have this mindset. They can never have anything without being in debt. How many knows that's wrong thinking? Because the Bible says, owe no man anything except to love him. The Bible says the borrower is subject to the lender. Oh, no, I do what I want to. Okay, we'll see. Get laid off from your job. Oh, I'll trust the Lord. Okay, we'll see. We'll see. See, because the words that comes out of your mouth, you will be tested on those very words. Why? There's no way the enemy is going to allow you to keep the Word of God in your heart about God hates divorce and we will never get a divorce and all that without he tests you on it to the max. Why? Because he wants to get that word out so it can't bring the fruit of a lifelong blessed marriage that is the representation of Christ in the church. Have you done things against God since you got saved that you had to repent of? Did he leave you? Did he forsake you? Did he put asunder you? Then why do we think we can do it? See, the statistics say, now they're saying, there's more divorce in the church people than there is in the worldly people. A lot of them just ain't even getting married no more. They don't see the point. They're shacking. Gosh, y'all are so quiet. Evidently, we need this. I need it. I have to stay stirred up on this. Why? Because I get sick and tired of some of the stuff he does every day. And it is not something that I should be willing to get a divorce about. But how many knows you can get so sick and tired and quit looking at Jesus? See, it's none of my business whether or not he loves me as Christ loves the church. That's not my business. Why? I won't be asked no questions by God about that. I won't be held accountable for that. Guess who will? He will. My job is to be concerned about whether or not I am submitting to his authority as I'm supposed to. That's the thing God's going to deal with me about. But how many knows, as Christian people, there should not ever be this time that you say quit. Now, I'm not talking about if somebody, it's like I said, if Scotty leaves me tomorrow, that's on him. I'm not chasing him. I'm going to do the will of God. And if he wants to come back and God helps us, fine. If not, well, that's not my problem. That's not something that I can help. It was not in my heart. And the thing about it can't be in your heart. Maybe everything's good today. Maybe everything is rosy today. Maybe you don't have this problem today. But what about your kids? That's why he told Travis, he said, you are about to make the biggest mistake of your life. Why? We prayed for her. We believed God from the time he was a little bitty kid that he would marry a woman that was chosen for him, fit just for him by God, and that God would help him to be the husband and the man that his wife needed him to be. You think God ain't going to answer that? We fasted over that. We prayed for them about that. And then lo and behold, here comes Beth, and I would have never picked her. I would have picked somebody more like me. And the thing about that is you can't put me and him together. He's a lot like me. He likes to think he's a lot like his daddy. But on the job, Something happens. Guess who he calls him, Dave? Little Tracy. You want me to call Mama? He never calls him Little Scotty. Ever. And he's always my son. Unless he's doing something real good. Then he becomes ours or his. I know y'all don't have this deal. But see, the thing about it, when we stay married, it sets a hope and a future for our kids. When they see us go through things and we turn to the Word of God and we don't turn it loose and we seek the Lord and we stay with Him and we repent when necessary, we say, I'm sorry. Y'all don't want to hear that one, I'm sure. Y'all probably go, sorry, like Fonzie, don't you? Scotty does. Hard for him to say it. Most time he don't. He'll just flick me in the ear or something other, slap me on the back. That's his sorry. And I'm like, say it, buddy, just say it. I want to hear it. You need to say it. See, and I have experienced it because me and Scotty are still married and because Travis and Beth sees us go through things and because they see us overcome things and they see the fruit of the Word of God, it gives them hope that no matter what they go through, April, they can stay together. They can stay and continue doing the will of God. So it's not just for me. It's for my kids and my grandkids and their kids and their kids. Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing if you had 10 generations of absolute no divorce? 10 generations of absolute no poverty whatsoever. You can have it. It is the will of God. But look here in John 15. Verse 1. He says, I am the vine and my Father is the husbandman. Some translation says my Father is the gardener. I like that one better. I understand gardening. I don't understand husbandmen. He says, my Father is the gardener. He says, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it. What's purgeth mean? You cut it off. You prune things. That's why you prune trees. Even if they're bringing forth fruit, you prune them back a little bit so that fruit that comes next year becomes bigger and tastier. He says, now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. He says, abide in me. That word abide, you can translate that stay. Just simple stay. In me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide or stay in the vine, no more can you except you abide in me. He says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same does what? Bringeth forth much fruit. He's talking about fruit from the Word of God and the Spirit of God, and it will remain forever. He says, for without me, you can do nothing. You might say, well, I can drive a car, you know, I can work a job, I can cook a meal. Surely you can. But none of those things without His direction and without His Word will remain when the day comes to declare it. Why? They're all natural stuff. And sad to say, there's going to be some people that they spend 20, 30 years, thousands of dollars, and it's going to be burned up on that day. He goes on, he says, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, my word stays in you. You keep it. Whatever you find out, you keep it. Just like I told you, whenever me and Scotty come across the verse, I believe it's in Malachi, that says God hates divorce. We said, okay, if God hates divorce, we hate divorce. And there would be times, just like I told you, sitting in the blazer and I cried, that word, it is all I can do to let that word remain in me. But here we are, 37 years, nearly 38 years married. That word is still bringing forth fruit. He goes on, and he says, 7, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Notice, herein is my Father glorified. This is one of the things we're called to do, is glorify God in everything with all things, right? Right? He says, herein is my Father glorified. How? He says, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. He says, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Continue ye in my love. Now notice this. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. He said, I have stayed in my Father's love. You stay in mine. Now he tells you how to stay in it. He says, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. When he says over there, love your enemies, and you get that word in you and you won't turn it loose, you are keeping his commandments and you will abide in his love. You will stay in it. The devil cannot get you out, and there's nothing he can do with you. And that word is bringing forth fruit. He says, abide in my love. He said, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. So how do you abide? Come on, are y'all awake? How do we abide? What did it just say? He says, if you keep my commandments, if you do what I tell you. Right? Ain't that what that means? See, we like to think sometimes, oh, I love God because I got a gooey feeling. But then do everything he says don't do. And don't do one thing that he says to do. He says, you don't love me. God, y'all ain't saying nothing. He says, if you're going to abide in me and my words abide in you, if you're going to abide in my love, you're going to have to keep my commandments. You put the word in and you do it. James says, don't be a hearer of the word only, deceiving yourselves. He said, but be doers of the word. If the word says love your enemies, ask God to help you figure out a way to love them, right? And he says, you said a mouthful. I know I did. He goes on here. He says, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you. Might be one reason why some people ain't got joy, and that your joy might be full. Notice this. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. That's another mouthful. I got to love Monty like Jesus loves me. And Monty's got some ways that don't fit with mine. I think, and I do too, vice versa. I think for the first 2 years, everything I would say, nearly Monty would look at April and say, is she mad? And April would be like, nah, she's not mad. That's just her. I don't think you asked her no more now, Monty, do you? No, he's got kind of used to me now. But I got to love him like Jesus loves me. Y'all not saying nothing. See, if I love Scotty like Jesus loves me, ain't no way I can ever divorce him. Why? Jesus will never leave me. He will never forsake me. He will be with me forever to the end, he said. Right? Now, can I leave him? Absolutely. But he cannot leave me. He can't break his word. He says, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. He didn't say you love the lost like that. I can't love the lost like that. I'm not called to. I'm called to love the brethren like that. Now, am I called to love the lost? Absolutely. Jesus loves the lost. Saved, lost, he loves everybody. But he goes on and he says, 13, greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. He says, henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you. For what? Ministry? That you should go and bring forth fruit. So we are ordained to bring forth fruit. And that your fruit should remain. Why? There's going to come a day that's going to test every bit of your fruit. He goes on, mine too. He says that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that you love one another. Now look at John 8, since we're here in John. He says, well, I got 28 through 32. I don't want to read that much. I ain't got time. 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him. He says, if you continue in what? My word. If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. Do you understand there's no other way? If he says, if you continue in my word, you're going to be my disciple. Do you understand there's no other way? He says, "Then are you my disciples indeed." And this is the verse we like to quote. "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Go over to Romans 12. I don't have this one wrote down, but it'll be all right. I mean, Zach ain't got this one. He says, "If you continue in my word, so shall you be my disciples. And you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free." Right? Anybody in here, you don't want free? I want free. I want free from me, number one. From me. He says here, verse 2, he says, "And be not conformed to this world." He says, "But be you transformed," changed, rearranged, however you want to say it, "transformed," or live a transformed life, how? "By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." All right, for an example. Y'all heard the testimony. We are completely debt-free now. We owe nobody nothing. Which, you know, I still got my light bill, water bill. What I mean is we're not in debt to anybody for any reason now. Now, you go back. Travis is 30. Scotty got saved in December. 2 weeks later, I got saved in the middle of January. Travis turned 2 in February, so that's how long we've been saved. He's 30 now, so we'll just count it 28 years. Now, we didn't hear this just right off the bat, but probably within a year or two, we began to hear the Word of God taught about financial prosperity. Not only that, prospering in your health, prospering in your relationships. You know, one of Scotty's favorite scriptures that he come across that you still hear him quote today, 28 years later, is Proverbs 10:22, the blessing, which is an empowerment to prosper, maketh rich, and it addeth no sorrow or no toiling, or 3 jobs won't bring the increase. He had the mentality that he could never have anything without being in debt. That's in his heart. Now, something's got to happen, Monty. He comes across the word, Proverbs 10:22, "The blessing of the Lord maketh rich and addeth no sorrow." He comes across the scripture over there, I believe it's in, 1 Corinthians 8, maybe somewhere around in there, that it talks about how Jesus himself took upon himself poverty that we might be made rich. All these different scriptures, and the ones about tithe and how you tithe, God will open up the windows of heaven, pour you out a blessing, there shall not be room enough to receive it. Over there, 1 or 2 Corinthians 9, it talks about how that if you sow sparingly, you'll reap sparingly. If you sow bountifully, that blessings may come to others, you will reap bountifully. Luke, 6:38? Where it says, yeah, I have a hard time thinking right now. Somebody tell it to us, I can't think of it. Yeah, given it shall be given. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give unto you. I mean, on and on and on and on. Well, we got a hold of these words, D. They got on the inside of us. Listen, some don't always get on the inside of you because you hear it one time. That's one good thing about the message about confession. Do you understand? When you confess the word just like this, you heard the word about being born again somehow or another. If you're born again today, you heard it somehow through somebody. You believed it in your heart, and what happened? You confessed it out of your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and bam! That word had enough power to bring you, the Bible says, from death to life. Just that word. That's the fruit that was in that word, a born-again spirit. Well, because we heard these words, and we heard them, and we heard them. And I would look for tapes on them and different things like that. I mean, I've already told you the story. It would take me sometimes, depending on the series, it might take me a whole week because it's dial-up. Y'all remember that, right? God, I hated that. But because we were so hungry for the Word of God and we abided in Him, and we needed everything in our life, needed everything. Money, relationship, everything we needed. So God, we abided in Him, and His words begin to abide in us, and they begin to bring fruit. They begin to transform our thinking. From this, I can never have anything without borrowing. I can never, ever own anything. that word inside the heart and coming out of the mouth. You've heard the story. He had laid his hands on the side of our house when he'd go to get in his truck and say, "Thank you, Lord, this house belongs to me and Teresa and not us in the bank. We're debt free." He would say it and say it. And he's not saying it in front of people. He would say, why? Because you got to keep that word in there if you want the fruit. And one of the ways you're going to keep it, who's the first one going to hear it when it comes out of your mouth? You. Because all day long, you've got the enemy, you've got your feelings, you've got your own thoughts, you've got Christian people that'll tell you things can't happen all day long. So you need the word of God in your heart and coming out your mouth if you're ever going to get fruit of that word. So it began to change our thinking. And so we began to change. Our finances began to change a little bit. But we're still now to this point living week to week where we was day to day. Now we're on a week to week level. Then before you know it, we're on a couple of week level. Now you're talking about 28 years. 28 years you got to keep this word in there if you're going to get to the completeness of the fruit of that word. So 28 years later and listening it to it and confessing it, I'm telling you, have to get up here and preach and minister about financial prosperity when you can't even buy a Coke because you are so broke and you get up here and you still preach it and you still teach it with all the faith that you have got. But I can stand here and tell you 28 years later, every word of that financial prosperity that we put in our hearts and kept coming out of our mouth and wouldn't let it go has brought us to complete debt freeness. And that is a wonderful, I don't really feel no differently. Because I wasn't worried or bothered about it, you know, or pressure. You know, somebody might think, oh, I'd feel so relieved. Not if you was really in faith. It's just, now it's on paper. It feels good, but it didn't feel bad before. Why? Because that word all these years has been transforming us. A little bit at a time. We walk a little bit different here. We walk a little bit different in this stage. We walk a little bit. And one of the things God had to do is put a harness on Scotty's little flesh of stop spending. I spend money, but I don't spend money like he spends money. He buy one thing and it's thousands with a zero. I buy something, it might be 20s or 30s. So, but God began, that word began to transform him, D. Okay, now you got to be a good steward. You got to tithe, you got to give, you got to save, you got to do what I tell you to do with it. If I tell you to give somebody $400 over here, I don't care if it's every dime that you got, you give the $400 over here. Why? He is maneuvering you all the time to bring about the complete fruit of that word. I don't care what area it's in, whether it's in marriage, whether it's in your health. What's the Bible say in Proverbs? What is it? About 4:20? 21, 22, and 23. It says, my word is medicine. Y'all didn't hear me. So what's the first thing you do when you get sick? Start telling everybody how sick you are. That's really going to help you. That's really the word you need to be confessing. Why? There's life and death in the power of the tongue. I don't need to be telling everybody how I feel. I don't need to be telling everybody how I hurt, how I'm coughing or head hurting or anything. I don't need to be telling nobody all that. Why? I need to get the word of God. Why? He said his word is health and healing to my spirit. Come on now, y'all Bible students, tell me. It's health and healing to my spirit, to all my head, my ears, my eyes, my lungs, my toenails, the hairs on my arms. It's healing to all my flesh. So if I want to get into divine healing and health and stay that way, guess what's going to happen? I got to get the word on it. And I need to hear it. And I need to hear it. The Apostle Paul, y'all remember over there, and I think it's about 1 Corinthians 3. He said, I preached, Apollos watered, and God gave the increase. How do you do that? Well, just like you said, number one, somebody preached, taught, you heard the word. Then somebody else comes along, and they're preaching and teaching is like watering, warm water. on your seeds of the word. And it's got to continually be going in your ears and in your heart. Continually be going in your ears and in your heart and out of your mouth. Constantly. If you're going to ever get to, and I can't tell you how long that's going to take. Like I said, for the full fruit, but one thing was because our mind was so messed up and our believing was so messed up to where the Word of God has to get in there and it has to start digging around and digging up that wrong thinking, digging up those wrong feelings, digging up those words Mom and Daddy told you. Y'all are not hearing nothing. I've heard people tell their kids, had one time, talking to his little boy. He said, you're going to be just like your daddy. You're never going to be anything or anybody, are you? The boy's about 3. What do you think that kind of stuff can do to a kid? Get on the inside of them to where, and the devil waters that word, just reinforces those words that those kids hear to where they believe in their heart and in their mind, I'm never going to be anything. I can never have anything. I'm never going to do anything. But the Word of God will go in and it will begin to uproot that. Y'all remember this, over there where he talks about, what is it, 1 Corinthians 10:3-5? That talks about how the Word of God, the weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal, they're not natural, they're not fleshly. But they're mighty toward God to the pulling down of what? Strongholds are things that have been in you for a long time, regardless of how they got there. But they've been there a long time. That's where they are. A stronghold. And you have to take the Word of God and put it in your heart and in your mouth. And don't let thoughts of doubt or anything that comes against. Listen, you can't stop yourself from having a thought, but you don't have to take it. And the Bible says over there in Matthew 6:33, the way you take a thought is how? Y'all don't know that? He says, take no thought. The Amplified Bible says, take no thought by saying. Why? See, there's something about when I believe in my heart and I say it out my mouth, that's how I got born again. So the Word is supposed to be living, abiding within my heart, and I say it out my mouth. Amen? Gosh, this has not went nothing like I thought. Where are we at? Oh, yeah, we're over there in Romans. But he said, don't be conformed to this world. Do y'all realize who the Bible says that is the God of this world? And the God of this world's system? Do you realize this world system is created so that you never get out of debt? It's created that way. But when you get born again and you get in God and you abide in Him and His Word abides in you, He will help you work the system of the kingdom and it overrides this system of this world. That's how come when it hits the fan, all of us that has been living by faith, been getting our finances by faith, doing what we do by faith, ain't going to move us. But just because you're a Christian don't mean it's going to happen for you. If you've been doing the work and you've been putting the Word in and you've been working God's financial system of prosperity, financial prosperity and all that, you will never affect you. Losing your job can't affect you. My job is not my source. Do you see all the different ways of thinking that Word had to transform us? How many people do you know that would say, my job is not my source? They get a pink slip. They got laid off. Come out of the boss's office and go, woohoo! Glory to God. How many people y'all know did that? I don't know many. But you better be one of them. Because see, when that Word is living in you, it's bringing the fruit. You're not trying to go, woo, glory. You can't help it. It just comes out of you. Why? It's living on the inside of you. And therefore, when you come out that door, it's glory to God. You brought this. You can bring better than this. You can bring me finances sitting on the couch if that's what you want to do. Y'all not saying nothing. When you live this way, when you abide in Him and His Word abides in you, it will do everything that it says. But there's a process. I've got to read this and then I've got to stop because we're going to be too far. I have got to read this though. Mark 4. Just a few verses here and then we're going to have to be done. Verse 26. excuse me, this is Jesus talking. He says, and he said, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground and should sleep. Do you realize 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, it says we are being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed, the word of God. Now, your spirit has been born again, your soul is being born again, and your body at the resurrection will be glorified. He says here, as if a man should cast seed into the ground. This is how the kingdom is. And he should sleep and rise night and day. And this seed should spring and grow up. He knoweth not how. I don't have to know how it works. Just put it in my heart. My heart is the ground. All the verses before this, he's talking about the condition of the heart. It's almost stony ground. Right? He says, he does not know how. 28. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself. You put a fence post out there in that dirt, the reason why it rots is the ground's trying to make it bear fruit. You put the word in your heart, and it begins to start going to work, bringing forth, breaking down that seed, and it bringing forth the fruit that the word said. He goes on and he says, now notice this, for the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade. I can't tell you how long it's going to take. When you plant okra, it better be hot. If not, you're going to plant it 3, 4, 5 more times. Why? Because okra seed like hot and dry. They don't like wet and cold. He goes on and he says, first the blade. Now think about an ear of corn. That corn goes into the ground, it dies, that ground begins to eat the husk off of that corn, and it dies, and it has everything in it, D, to make a whole ear of corn. He says, then first the blade, then the ear. Y'all see them on the corn stalks, right? Ain't nothing in them yet. He says, then the ear. He says, after that, the full corn in the ear. That is exactly a representation of the kingdom of God and the word of God. The Bible says, guard our hearts, for out of it flow the issues of life. Everything that goes in my ears and my eyes and different things like that affects my heart if I allow it. I need to, according to Mark 4, I need to make sure my heart is good ground. Why? Because he says at the last part of that, talking about the sower sows the word, he says, and some, they didn't bring forth fruit at all, D. They got the word, got choked out, they got offended because situations came up because of the word and all that. But then he goes on and he says, but some brought forth fruit 30. Some brought forth 60% fruit. But then he says, some brought forth 100. Do you realize that was determined, that percentage of fruit was determined by how much they allowed that word to stay on the inside of them? I've got to stop because I actually were a little over time and I'll be in trouble.